Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the CCMP podcast. As always, I am your host, Carlson. In this week's episode, we look back at year 7 of the symposium, which took place in 2001. But first, let's head into the men's room for some news. All right, this first story comes from ESPN.com, but I found it from Tricky's page that he posted it. It is a $1 million buy-in that will be at the World Series of Poker this year. Eric Seidel, Johnny Chan, and Daniel Negreanu have said that they are playing in this tournament. So check it out. That's all the news for this week. So let's go back to the year 2001. Alrighty, the year is 2001. On TV this year, Amazing Race premiered, Star Trek Enterprise premiered, and Scrubs premiered. PTI premiered on ESPN. Gas prices were $1.52 a gallon. Movies that came out this year were Swordfish, American Pie 2, and Zoolander came out. In sports, the Super Bowl was won by the Baltimore Ravens. The World Series was the Arizona Diamondbacks. In basketball, the LA Lakers won the NBA championship. In NCAA basketball, Duke won. Football, Miami won. And in NCAA baseball, Miami also won that. The Heisman winner was Eric Crouch from Nebraska, and he just edged out Rex Grossman. In the draft that year, the number one pick overall was Mike Vick. Number five pick was LaDainian Tomlinson. And the number eight pick by the Chicago Bears was David Terrell. Also, ECU played Marshall in the GMAC Bowl. Lost 61-64. On another note, the baseball team for ECU also had a very good year. They missed making the World Series, College World Series, by just two games. So, that is the year 2001. All right, everybody. Hello. And a few things before I get into year 7 of the symposium. And that is that in 1998, the movie Rounders had been released. And it appears that it was year 6 that I did not give a shout out to Dan, as that being his official year of joining the CCMP. And I also fucked up, as long as you will see. This is the year that Rodney had his issue, and I may have to retell that story that I told in year 4, I believe it was. So I screwed that up, and I will kind of have to retell that story, because apparently that was this year, not that year. So, bitch, many people told me that I screwed up, because I apparently remembered the wrong year. Also, one thing that I missed from the last episode was the fact that I did call RJ Mini JT. And what it was is that when RJ joined the group, he looked like a smaller version of JT, of Tricky. And so we called him Mini JT. And I don't know when we gave him that nickname. It was some point when he met Tricky later that day. So with that, I will head into year 7 of the symposium. Alrighty, we're going to start the story of year 7 of the symposium, also known as the year of Rat Bitch, or the year that Rat Bitch was born. Rat Bitch is Tricky, or JT, whatever. I'm going to probably jump around and call him a different bunch of different things. But due to the fact that this is the year that Tricky missed, he had, I believe, just moved to Nebraska and was working for them now in their thing. And they were having their spring, at the time that we were running the symposium, they were having their football, they were having a spring football thing, media event. His boss had told him that he was to come to the, that he could come to the symposium. He didn't need to be there for this. Jerry, becoming a responsible adult, yeah, I know, Tricky, a responsible adult doesn't, you know, it's an oxymoron. But besides that, he is decided that he will not show up. So, due to the fact that he was one of the main contributors to the fact that we called Dave Cleveland Bitch, we decided that he needed a moniker, and we decided it was Rat Bitch. He had no problem with this. The rat bitch, or us calling him rat bitch, was not an issue. The issue came at the fact, and I believe it was Adam that decided that this should be done, is that Jerry was to be stripped of his founding father status. This pissed Jerry off because Jerry felt that there was no reason that he should lose his founding father status for missing a time. Well, I can say that at this point in time, there was only a few people left that had not missed a single symposium from year one on. Now, there are people that have not missed one since they have been invited or have been coming to them, but to, or what we call the guys with no life, apparently, I don't know why, but that's what Turkey calls them, is that at this time, that status is set for myself, Tony Babcock, Aaron Babcock, and Jeff Carabelli. And I believe maybe even Rich at this time, but I can't guarantee that. I want to say, I believe, yes, Rich is still in that, and Rich Steed is still in that category. At this time, we are now the only ones that have not missed since year one, that we have not missed a single symposium. With that, but Jerry missing, Adam wanted to remove his founding father status. I know that much. I also believe this was one of the first years, if not the first year, that we started to go down on Thursday evening. Now, I could be wrong. We may have started earlier in this time. And we also played golf and paintball this year, for sure. I know that. Or I'm pretty sure that we did. So we get down there. Now, since Tony has gotten married and we no longer have a place to stay down there, we have found a new place. Or should I say, Dan or Farm Boy has found the new place. It is the American Legion Hall in Alpha, which is real close to Woodall, so we affectionately call the town Alpha Hall. So, with that, nothing really big happened as far as I know, as far as the road trip goes. With that, I know that, I believe that we did, like I said, play golf and did paintball this year, and it was the first year that we came down on a Thursday. This year, we also received t-shirts that we did. They were black t-shirts, simply said Symposium on Male Bonding and CCMP on the front, and on the back in large letters was Event Staff. The shirts were black and yellow. The lettering was yellow on them. They were quite nice. We had, I don't know if it was Dwin's shirt or whose shirt it was, but it was a 7XL shirt that we had. I don't know if that was for Boo or me or Dwin, but I know that we had that size of a t-shirt, or at least that's according to my information here. I don't think anything major happened on the golf course or in paintball. Again, we were back with MVP again, which we do, and again, they say that, you know, we were probably one of the best groups that we did, that they ever had, that would go through that. We also made a return trip to Daisy Dukes this year. Again, since we found Daisy Dukes, we decided we'd go back to Daisy Dukes. And, of course, it was quite fun. Now, some of the story that I may have missed from year one, which I'm sure I haven't heard, but I'm quite sure that I should have heard, is that, and I know that this kind of happened this year too, is that one of the nice things about going to Daisy Dukes also was the fact that there were also women who would come in and be there. Not dancers, actual patrons that would come in as women. And you kind of got an extra little show from them because, you know, they would go up to give the dollar bill to the woman on the stage, and of course the woman on the stage would expose the breast of the woman sitting alongside the stage. So we got like an extra little show there. Again, very nice establishment. At this time it was very nice, and we weren't quite as upset about the long drive this time because we knew where we were headed and where we were getting ourselves into as we did this. Now at this time, rather than us taking a grill down or having a grill down there, so we had to do it, we attempted to make a tripod grill with, now, according to some of the information I have, it says that we tried to cook on a charcoal briquette, on a 6 charcoal briquettes on the ground. It was on a tripod. I know this. It was on a tripod, and we just had some charcoal on the ground, and we had the tripod hanging over it, and we tried to cook the meat that way. Or at least that's the way I understand. I do kind of remember this, and it wasn't very good, but it actually ended up working quite well. I know we had the stove that worked inside, so Rich could make breakfast for us. Now, I don't know if he, it was just a lot of that. Also, in our brochure that year, Jerry had done what is called a separated at birth, or somebody, whoever did that this year's thing, did a separated at birth. I do remember that Tony Babcock was separated at birth from John Daly. They had me separated at birth from Johnny Chan, the poker player. I don't remember some of the other ones, but I know those two stick out in my mind as far as that. Now, I have kind of gone over this story. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back here. We also, Dwin had put together a CD for us where he had downloaded a bunch of songs. Now, I know I'm going to get shit, and I don't have the CD case in front of me, so I'm going to get shit for not being able to remember every song on the CD. I will tell you that I know The Boys Are Back in Town was the theme song for the symposium. Welcome to the Jungle, Green Day's Good Riddance, Sitting by the Dock of the Bay, and I believe it's Jeremy by Pearl Jam, and of course Paradise City by Guns N' Roses also is on there. Now, the Paradise City was put on there because of Jerry Trickey's 21st birthday, in which we all took Jerry out to for his 21st birthday, and we took him to some strip clubs. Now, if you've ever taken guys to strip clubs and told the strippers that it's a guy's birthday and they can take him up, you can pay to have him taken up on stage and the strippers will dance for him up there on stage while they're on stage. Well, usually what happens is while they're on stage, the strippers will rip off guys' underwear or rip the waistband off of guys' underwear. Well, the story is that we sent Jerry up on stage. The strippers reached for Jerry's underwear to rip the elastic off the waistband of the underwear. Well, Jerry wasn't wearing any underwear. So, now I know that has nothing to do with the symposium, but it does have to do with the song Paradise City, which is why I'm telling you this story. Alright, so since I got the Rodney story wrong, or at least the year wrong, the story was right, the year was wrong. This is actually the year that it took place. Rodney was upset because of the Game 7 27. He was thought to have been... He felt like we were cheating him, which I doubt very much that we were or whatever. He just... Apparently the game was explained to him and he didn't. I've already gone over the whole story of what happened. He thought the game was one way and it turned out that he was playing it a different way. He just didn't apparently pay attention to the rules when they were explained. Now, I was not at the table that this happened at, so I don't know. Anyways, I also have another little interesting story for this one. And I'm not sure exactly how to go about this story. It's not exactly a good story. Okay, let me put it this way. At this point, you can either fast forward past this story, or you can listen to it, because it's actually very, very hilarious if you were there and you saw this and you know what the story is. But I'm telling you right now that some people may not want to listen to the story. I'm going to try to be as delicate as I can, even though it requires me not being delicate at all. I'm not sure exactly how to put this. So, all right. It is very late on, I want to say, Saturday evening or Friday evening. I'm not sure. We are playing cards. We have the tournament going, I believe, at this time. And, of course, as always, the television is on. And, again, per usual, the television is, okay, playing porn. As always, I guess I should say. I don't know whose tape it was, and I can guarantee you it was not my tape in any way, shape, or form. All I know is that we were in the middle of playing cards. Sadly enough, I'm the one that happened to look up at the screen at this exact moment. Again, this part's not easy to talk about, and I don't know if I want to really tell you what was on the screen, because it was very disturbing and very disgusting. All I know is that I'm the one that looked up at the screen, and there was a gentleman on the screen with a very large, I'm going to call it, tool, unit. Dick. And he was sitting on a couch. And of course, it's a typical porn, so, you know, I kind of look up. And as I'm preparing to kind of, well, I'm not preparing to do anything. I kind of look up and look at the screen, like I said. Believe me, when I get to the point, you're going to realize why I'm having problems deciding to talk about this. What happened was, I'm expecting a woman to come into the screen and perform some sort of sexual act with this gentleman that is sitting on this couch. Well, no woman enters the screen. And the next thing I notice, and I'm gonna probably put this, I'm not gonna say delicately, but the best way I can, is that this gentleman proceeded to, he performed an act on himself. At this point, picture in like all the movies where all of a sudden you like hear the record go off, the jukebox stops playing and the record goes off, and all of a sudden you hear like the crickets chirping. There was not a sound. You could hear a pin drop because everybody who was like suddenly looked at the television. I have no idea why everybody looked at the television, because I yelled this out, but all I know is that they got up, looked, and they saw this. Dwin rocked about 3 times, got up out of his chair. Okay, he rocked 3 times to get out of his chair. He proceeded to get up out of his chair, walk over to the VCR where this tape was in, push eject, remove the tape from the machine, and frisbee toss this tape all the way across the room. And all I know is there was people sleeping, and they went, "What the hell was that?" And all we could do was go, "You don't want to know." They were cracking up laughing at points, but everybody was laughing at Dwin for doing this. It was very disturbing, in the least, I guess. I'm sorry I told that story. I really am. That's just, it's, every time I tell this story, it's quite disgusting, and it's quite gross, but it's part of the symposium, and it's a major part of that story, but I guess the picture of just the fact that everybody stopped, looked at the screen, and went, "Oh my god!" And Dwayne just getting up out of this chair to remove it. Again, I apologize for the bluntness and the disgusting picture I just put in all of your heads, but and by me repeating this, I continue to do that. So I want to apologize for this story, but I had to tell it. Because it's part of it. Beyond that, thankfully enough, that was probably the most unusual thing in the entire weekend. It wasn't really good. So be thankful you weren't there, Tricky, because you would have been quite disgusted. That's what I have on that. I can't say that there was a whole lot more that happened that year. We had Dan. Like I said, this was Dan's first year. That we also found out that Dan is not a very good card player. We kind of joke that Dan has never really he's pretty much, without trying, he's kind of actually has the probably what I would call the true record for most chips lost in a weekend. So, with that, I think it's about time to end this podcast. Or maybe not the podcast, but at least bring this portion of the story to a close. Again, I apologize for the story that I just told, but it is a major part of the story of that year. It's not good. I do know that this was year 7, and this was the year that RJ won the World Series of Poker, our World Series of Poker. Now, I should have had him on this week, but I didn't, because I know that there was some points. Now, I took second, I believe, this year, and it was not actually that big of a difference. I'm not positive of that. I don't know the exact prize amount at this time, but I do know that I was fairly close to him because I was playing out my butt at the same time that he was. I do know there was two things that happened in the poker games at this time. RJ was playing a 727 game. I know this. It was either 727 or one of the many versions of 727 we played. All right, let me go back. I've explained 727 before. And 727 is you get it's like blackjack or anything somewhat similar to that, where cards are face value. And face cards are half. Now, we play a lot of different variations of this game in which, particularly at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, we become very punch drunk or just drunk, and we decide to start playing other versions of this game. I know that Turkey likes to come up with variations of this game as of like 727. Red number cards are 0, and face cards are, no, I can't say that, but red cards are half, or red cards are 0, a lot of different variations. I mean, it's just crazy at this time of the morning. They've even played 727 Go Fish, so basically where they do the 727, and then they pull a card out and go, here, you can, turn this over, and or they deal the first cards out, and then from that point on they take a card and they flip it over, or they spread them out in the middle just like Goldfish, and they pull a card. Well, anyways, beyond that, now I know there's other versions where you can play like 444 and all these. Now RJ actually grew a sack this year, and he was playing, I don't know which game it was, it was either a 727 or a 744 or something like that towards the end of the weekend. And what it was for a very large pot. And RJ started taking some cards in odds. Again, I'm not positive. All I know is that RJ took a serious fight, or not a fight, but took a serious lead in one of these games because he actually grew a pair and went what we call both, in which means he would take the entire pot. And he did, which was the pot that that made him take it the way it was. Now, while he was in the middle of doing this, I was in the middle of playing some games, and I was on a hot streak. And it seemed like any time we played a three-card game, I was kicking ass. We would play Pup, we would play Guts, we would, you name it, we were playing it. I was just going left and right. Now, we played a 727 game in which I made a mistake, but I can't complain too much because I did make it. What it was is all these people were taking cards. I had some high cards showing. And a bunch of these people around decided that, well, we were going through, and finally we got to a point where everybody had to choose. Now, I jumped the gun and stated which I was going before I should have, and a couple of the guys had thing, but I stated, now I could have gone both and won, but I didn't, because again, I may have made a deal with the devil to win, but I didn't actually know what I was doing, I guess is the way to put it. Anyways, I know on this particular hand that a couple of the guys went low, I don't remember what it was. I know that they went one way, and I went a way that they were not expecting me to go. They were expecting me to go high or low or something. They were expecting me to go high, and I actually was going low. It turns out that we had this, that I made a mistake. Like I said, I should have said both. Now, it got around to Boo because I had already mistakenly made my call, and Boo just went, well, I'll go high. Or he said low. He said the opposite of whatever I said so that he could get half the pot. Had I been smart enough to say both, I could have taken the whole pot and may have been close to RJ and may have been able to take it away from him, but I didn't. Anyways, with that, all right, I have one more story that I need to tell about one of the card games that I played during this time, during this year's symposium, and I'm believing that this is the time that it happened. I was in the middle of a hand, and this time we were playing the game called Pup. Now, in Pup, you play Ace 2 3. It's low ball guts, is what it is. And Ace 2 3 is the best hand you can have. Tens are wild. So if you have Ace 10 3, it's still good because the 10 can be counted as a 2. Now, the way that this usually works is that the hand that is most natural, basically your lowest natural card, your card that is lowest naturally, will win. So if you have Ace 10 3 and someone pulls Ace 2 3, then the person with Ace 2 3 or Ace 2 10 wins, because they have the natural 2 that is the lowest card. I know that I was in the middle, and like I said, I was kind of on a hot streak at this time, especially playing three-card games, and I got a little cocky, I will admit that. But what it was is that we had the Ace 2-3. I had been taking a few pots here and there in this game, and what happened was is I drew Ace 2-3 natural. Absolutely natural. Ace 2-3. There's no way I could lose. Or at least that's what I said. What it was is that the guys that I was playing with all dropped when I said I was in, and they go, "You don't want any cards?" I go, "No, I don't want any cards." Now, in this particular case, you have to play a dummy hand, which means that the cards are dealt and they get to try to beat you with just a hand to keep you from winning the hand and keep the game going. Well, in this particular case, I ran Ace 2 3, and my Ace 2 3 natural was great, and I got a little cocky and I said, "I can't lose. There's just no way I can lose. I know I've got the best natural hand. I can't lose. When they were like, well, don't get cocky. I go, I can't lose. And, well, what happened was is they drew. They got an ace. They flipped over the first three cards, and it was ace, 3, 10 or something like that. Or it wasn't even a 10. It was some odd number. So they pulled that, or they threw away at least one card. I don't remember. Like I said, I don't remember what it is. Well, what ended up happening was is the dummy ended up tying me, so we had to play again. And I do believe I actually ended up losing to the dummy at that point because I got a little cocky. And we call that karma kicking my ass. Well, that. But I don't know if I ended up. I don't know if on the next hand I ended up actually winning it anyways, but it didn't really matter. So that's my little story of a card game that I played during that time. Now, I wish I had an RJ on this week, but I didn't. So he could have told you a little bit more about his winning this. So maybe I made a mistake. Instead of using him his first year, I should have used him his second year when he won. But anyways, that is the symposium for the year 2001 or the 7th. Year or the year of Rat Bitch or the year that Rat Bitch was born. Anyways, so that does it for year 7 of the symposium. Now, oddly enough, we were only at the Legion Hall. How am I trying to say this? That the Legion Hall has become the permanent home of the symposium. We are there every year now. And that is where we go. Now, oddly enough, I don't know if we ran into an issue or we decided to try something a little different because it wasn't that we didn't like the Legion Hall, but we wanted to try something different because we had looked some stuff up and it was the fact that we found some stuff. So next year we changed venues again, but we will end up coming back to Alpha because it just works out great. It's home. It's where we should be. That will end year 7 of the symposium. And that is my story for year 7. All right. I'm running a little bit long on this podcast, a lot longer than I expected. But anyways, before I leave, I want to give you a couple things here. It's called 50 Cool Things About Being a Guy. Number one, phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. Movie nudity is virtually always female. You know stuff about tanks. A 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase. Sunday and Monday night football. You don't have to monitor your friends' sex lives. Your bathroom lines are 80% shorter. You can open all your own jars. Old friends don't give a crap whether you've lost or gained weight, which, oddly enough, isn't true anymore. Dry cleaners and haircutters don't rob you blind. When clicking through the channels, you don't have to stall at every shot of somebody crying. Just boobs. You know, you see boobs, you gotta stop. Your ass is never a factor in a job interview. All your orgasms are real. A beer gut does not make you invisible to the opposite sex. Oddly enough, it probably does. Guy in hockey masks don't attack you unless you're playing hockey. You don't have to lug a bag full of stuff around everywhere you go. You understand why stripes is funny. You can go to the bathroom without three-person support group. Your last name stays put. You can leave the hotel bed unmade. When your work is criticized, you don't have to panic that everyone secretly hates you. You can kill your own food. The garage is all yours. Not in my case. You get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. You see the humor in terms of endearment. Nobody secretly wonders whether you swallow. You never have to clean a toilet. You can be showered and ready to go in 10 minutes or less. Sex means never worrying about your reputation. Wedding plans take care of themselves. If someone forgets to invite you to something, he or she can still be your friend. Your underwear is $10 for 3-pack. The National College Cheerleading Championships. None of your coworkers has the power to make you cry. You don't have to shave below your neck. And you don't have to curl up next to a hairy butt every night. If you're 34 and single, nobody notices. You can write your own name in the snow. You can get into a non-trivial pissing contest. Everything you on your face stays its original color. Chocolate is just another snack. You can be president. These are not mine. You can quietly enjoy a car ride from the passenger seat. Flowers fix everything. You never have to worry about other people's feelings. You get to think about sex 90% of your waking hours. You can wear white shirt to a water park. 3 pairs of shoes is more than enough. You can eat a banana in a hardware store. And finally, number 50, you can say anything and not worry what people think. Well, those are just 50 things that about being a guy. So as I do that, I'm going to bring this podcast to a close before I continue to say things that I'm going to regret. Again, I apologize for the one story, but it had to be told. I intend to try to get the next one up fairly quickly because I am kind of running behind and I'm going to have to double up here somewhere in order to finish this up. So, with that said, I am going to leave you with the CCMP motto. If you're a man, you'll understand.